Welcome to Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarno, a weekly podcast from Relevant Church in Daytona Beach, Florida. We pray this message helps you connect to God as you find your place, reveal your purpose, and unlock your potential. Let's head live to Pastor Chris for today's powerful message.
Well, praise the Lord, man. I'm so happy you guys are with me tonight. I want to continue where we kind of left off. All month long, we've been talking about reigning in life, reigning as an heir, walking as an heir. And the other week, a couple weeks ago, we were looking in Luke, and I want to go back there. I want you to go Luke 3:22 is where we started. How many of you know this is when Jesus was baptizing? And you really could start with verse 16, really, because it'll give us an overview of what actually took place. John, when Jesus came to him and said, "Baptize me," John answered, saying to him, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier that comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loosen, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat." He's talking about harvesting and harvesting the last harvest. And in verse 22, in 21, it says, "Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" And we talked about this, and I want to talk about it a little bit tonight. Sonship was established for Jesus because he laid down deity. Now, there's a lot of stuff in here, okay? I know what you're saying to me. Well, Pastor Chris, Jesus was God. Yeah, but Jesus was as much man as he was God. And as a man, as a God, he laid down his deity, his royalty, his privilege. And as a man, he had to follow the order in the earth. That's why he gets baptized. Now, in following that order, we saw that then Jesus was led, being full of the Holy Ghost in Luke 4:1. And tonight I want to talk to you about this for the evening. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. He was tempted 40 days of the devil. And the devil said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Now, there's a lot of stuff in here. And that's why I want to go slow. We see man attacked by the enemy a couple places in the Bible. Number one, the first precedent was in the garden. This is another precedent-setting event where you see the enemy challenges Adam in Genesis, but the enemy challenged Jesus in Luke. And there's patterns of his deception that he's trying to really solidify. So let's just go to Genesis just real quick in our mind. You don't have to turn there. We understand that the enemy was more subtle than all the other beasts of the field, right? That's what it says in Genesis. And let's go to Genesis 3:1. Let's just do it. Let's take our time. We're going to stay here. We're going to look at this because these precedents reveal strategies. And if we could see the enemy's strategy, we can get ahead of him. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, he's got a good offense of coming at you. But if we play better defense, we're going to win. So look what it says here. "Now the serpent was more subtle, okay, than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden.' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden.'" Now look, already he started it. Right? He said, God said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Right? "We may eat of the trees of the garden." Just a deceptive way of saying it. He could have just said, you know, hey, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Watch this. "And the serpent said in her, 'You shall not surely die.'" She questions God's authority, right? For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, this right here is pretty, you got to stretch. They were like God already. They were made in the image. They were made in the likeness. They were made in the ability. They were made in the power. They got stuff going on, man. They are completely naked and covered in glory. They don't even know it. They have no sin consciousness. I mean, they're living the baller life. They are balling at another level. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and it could make one wise, she took of the fruit of the tree, did eat, and gave it unto her husband, and they both eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves, and they covered themselves. And in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord thy God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And right there, you see something. Sin consciousness was never a part of man's DNA until the fall. They weren't even conscious of this. And he asked him, and the Lord God called him to Adam in verse 9, and he said, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in thy garden, Adam, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. And he says these words to him. Listen to verse 11. This is so powerful. He said, who told you you were naked? God never wanted man to be in this fallen state. And literally, look, think about this question. He said, I heard your voice. I was afraid. And because I was naked, I hid myself. Watch this. And he said, who told you that? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded you you should not eat? Think of this. Adam never had that other internal perspective until he sinned. I'm deficient. I'm not enough. Inferiority was birth. Insecurity was birth. All that stuff was birth in the moment of the fall. But the enemy attacks him with thoughts, ideas, suggestions, challenging identity. Because what did he say? He said this. God doesn't want you to do this. Because if you do this, watch this. You shall not surely die. There's no consequences to your actions. For God knows the day you eat, your eyes shall be open and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil. See that right there? See that right there? Suggestion. Suggestion is what the enemy used to attack man in Genesis. Now watch this. All about identity. It's all about identity. This is the identity of this. Let me show you this. They were gods. Okay? They were made in the image and likeness of God. You know, they're powerful. These supernaturally powerful walking on the face of the earth, right? God doesn't want them to touch the tree because he doesn't want them to operate in that realm of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you get in there, you're going to open this door to sin. In layman's language, there's a lot more behind that, but just to keep it simple. Because they disobey, now they fall from the position they already had. Now, when you get to Luke, it's the reverse. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he says what? He says, if you are, prove it. And that was the day. So what he said was, after coming up out of the River Jordan, when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, because he's doing this as a man, okay? You got to understand this. Then the resurrection produced a whole other arena, okay? For us, now we're living in resurrection power. That's why we got power and authority over everything the enemy throws at us. But right here, what he's figuring out, and what he's learning, very, 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 very good here. He's what? Sonship is becoming established between God and Jesus. And you're going to say, yeah, but you know, Jesus didn't know he was the Son of God. Yeah, but there needed to be a validation because he came as a man. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. The same process that Jesus went through, me and you will go through, to understand that our establishment of sonship was based on the new birth, nothing we did through performance. Okay? So that's really important. And he challenges the authority. What does he say? And Jesus said, and the devil said in him, if you be the Son of God. Same kind of attack you've seen in Genesis. He's coming at that stuff. He's going to come at it with you. Oh, if God's really good, why you got these money problems? Oh, if God's really good, why do you got this bodily pain? Oh, if God's really good, why is that marriage messed up? If God's really good, what's going on with the kids? You see what I'm saying? It all becomes like this mental play of in between the mind and the ears, the battle's in the head. And that's where you got to win. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. And you know, Jesus said, is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. You've seen that before. The devil took him on a high mountain, said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. They're all mine. I have the power to give. And he said, well, get behind me. For thou shalt worship. I'm not worshiping you. I only worship the Lord thy God. He said, brought him to a pinnacle of the temple. And he said, if you throw yourself down, angels will come and get you. He said, you don't tempt God. And the enemy left. What you see in Luke 4, you see in Genesis 1. Man is attacked in the place of thoughts, ideas, suggestion, and reason. This is where you have to comprehend, cast down, replace, rebuke, resist these wrong thoughts. Because what Jesus shows you, nobody is exempt from the temptations of the enemy. There's three power parts in here I saw. It was provision, it was authority, it was lordship. There's a little bit more probably in there, but the first thing was take this stone, turn it to bread. Provision. Provide what you need right now. You're fasting. Provide it. Provision. He's going to challenge you in the provision of God. The next thing, I'll give you all these kingdoms. You can have everything, man. He's messing. Who's really Lord? Do you want fame? Do you want fortune? What do you want? Or do you want God? Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But getting it the right way. There's a proper order. And then last but not least, throw yourself down. Temptation. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what do you mean temptation? Temptation to do something. No, temptation is going to be facing you all the time. The enemy will bring temptation in front of you to try to get you to stumble in other areas of life. So we see sonship being established through the new birth, but the sonship position being what? Challenged by thoughts, ideas, suggestions, and reason. Very, very important. Why? Because if you know you're a son of God, you have a confidence. Look at this. You have a confidence that most people don't have. And man, when you have that kind of confidence, knowing that you're a son, because you know, we read all these, there's a ton of scriptures about this, but I just want you to look at a couple of these. Because I think what they do is they really get you thinking like, oh, okay, that's who he's talking about me, and he is talking about you. He wants you to see this, and I want you to see this, and I don't want to take too much time, but I want to find this for you. I got it right here, sorry. Go with me to John 1, verse 12. John 1 and 12. Okay, John 1 and 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be the sons of God, even in them that believe. Did you receive him? Then he gave you the power to be a son. You're a son right now and a daughter of God because of your belief systems. You are in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're a son and a daughter. So he's your father. So once this position gets engrafted into your mentality of I'm not a servant but I'm a son. See the different perspective? We're going to get into Galatians. We're going to go look at, but I just want to get one point driven home. Him and his father are one. You're one with Jesus. You're one with Jesus. You're one with the Father. If you're one with Jesus, then your sonship has been established because of the new birth, right? So when you look at this, I'm checking this out because I want you to see this. Because I really want you to pull this one in, right? Because when you pull this scripture in, I think this kind of helps you kind of solidify some of the questions. You can find this in John 15. I'd like to almost read all of this, but okay. Let's start with verse 4. Abide in me, and I'm going to abide in you. This is Jesus. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can't do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and are cast into fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, here we go right here, right? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now that's how you know this. How do I know Jesus is abiding in me? I got his words. How do you know you're abiding in him? See, look at this. Watch this. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Okay. On the vine, you're the branch. Okay. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 5. Without me, you can't do nothing. He that abideth in me. Okay. If a man abide not in me, he can't. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Well, how do we know we're abiding in him? Are his words abiding in you? Meaning, is the word of God first place? Check this out. If you keep my commandments, right, my words, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Now, we understand we don't live by the commandments of God right now. We live by the word of God. We're not obeying the law. We fulfill the law by faith. So what is he saying? This is my commandment, that you love one another. So we're staying in love. We're staying in the word. We're staying in God, and we're abiding. Because 2 Corinthians, and y'all know this one, if any man be in Christ, he's a brand new creature, right? 2 Corinthians. But here's the good news about this, because I think this is big. Therefore, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, God got us back. See this word? He hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. We go around reconciling people to God through the new birth. Okay? Now watch this. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself through the cross, not imputing their trespasses to them, and what hath committed us the word of what? Reconciliation. That means we can reconcile mankind through the words, right? Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now get this one. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here we go. We're made, see it? So tonight, takeaway, one point, drive it home. I'm the son, I'm the daughter of God. If you're the daughter, there's no gender in the Bible. You got to stop thinking you're a servant and start understanding you're a son. You got to stop thinking you're a believer and start understanding you're a son who believes. You got to stop thinking you're a Christian. You're a son. I think you can't, you know, there's no doctrinally like this is what I'm going to say, but I want to say it because it's true. I think after you get beyond Christian, believer, disciple, I don't know all that stuff. Son and daughter of God, son and daughter of God. Now, that doesn't lose reverence. That enhances my position. That doesn't lose consciousness of who he is for me. That creates a greater understanding of who he is for me. Like, now, that doesn't produce this kind of lack of reverence or a lack of honor or like, you know, I think some people get a little too, you know, like, he's God, but he's my father. And I love, when you start hearing this message, you start seeing Jesus, right? He starts saying, my father, our father, father, I know you always hear me. He's on the cross. He's like, I could call my father and he'll send the legion of angels to get me out of here, but I'm not going to do it. It just gives you a greater position of faith based upon you're seated in Christ's revelation. That I am seated in heavenly places right now in Jesus Christ as a son. So what I've been saying this through the whole series. When sonship is established, right? Just think of this. Sonship is established. Your heirship is enforced. Dominion goes to a whole other level. Your dominion goes to the roof. This revelation will take your faith farther than it could go with faith alone. Because I don't have faith in me. I have faith in God. I don't have faith in, you know, all this other stuff. I got faith in the word. But here's the key. It's easier for me to position myself and you. I'm telling this for you. It's easier for you to position yourself. I'm a son of God. You know what I mean? God didn't leave me here. Like when you go through a hard spot, man, God, you're going to be thinking different. You're going to be responding different. You're going to start speaking different. You're going to start leading yourself different. You're going to be like, no, man, I'm God's son, man. He is prepared. But where do we see the enemy's attack? If you are the son. So he's always going to try to get you to second guess your heavenly father really taking care of you. And I don't want you ever to really second guess that. Because if you realize this, and you will, I want you to get this, you really will, that if God be for me, nobody in the world could be against me. And we are in him. We're in Christ. He's the head. We're the body. So we've been in position in Christ Jesus. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. That means, we're going to study this all month long, that means everything that God Almighty did for Jesus and everything that Jesus did for God Almighty himself is part of my benefit inheritance package. Not because I demanded it, not because I asked for it, not because I wrote the inheritance package. No, Jesus laid it up and now it's yours. Now, if you don't take that by force, that's on you and me. But that's the spot. Everything that Abraham got through the promise, yours. Everything that God gave Abraham, yours and mine. Everything God deposited in Jesus, yours and mine. Through inheritance, through, and this man will get you, because this one will pull you in. Through a God-given inheritance based upon God's promises, through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you have been placed in the... It's going to blow you out of the water, man. You have been placed in the earth with such divine right and privilege. And I know what happens. You're like, Pastor Chris, how come I don't see it? And I'm going to say something here that's really going to help you. Or you tried it for years, or you've been doing it for 20 years. And the Lord gave me this, man, the other day. I was preaching, and I told him, I said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. It's Proverbs. What happens is we get a glimpse, but we don't have a revelation. So we step out on it, and it doesn't hold revelation power. And therefore, it doesn't work. I'm just telling you, it just doesn't work. I can't explain it. It's not really a revelation to you. But after you get this revelation and you step out on it, Don't you do this. Don't let hope defer the blessing. Well, I tried that. I tried confession. I tried loosing angels. I tried us. No, no, no. You tried all that without a revelation of your heavenly position. You tried all that without a revelation of being the son and daughter of God. You tried that with just almost like secondhand information, but now we just keep pulling the veil back, and you keep pulling the veil back, and you start seeing, this is who I am. This is what I've received. This is what I can do. This is what God has not only, man, given me, but he's enforced it throughout the world for every person that's a believer to receive. So when that sits in your spirit and that revelation just explodes on the inside of you, there's no more hope deferred. So today when I pray for you, I want you to know, you maybe tried this, you tried that, you tried it all. There ain't no more trying in the kingdom. It's, I got a revelation, I got knowledge, I got power, and I'm changing my world from this moment forward. This revelation of you being the son and the daughter that God called you to be is going to change your world forever. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these guys. Thank you for giving them the revelation of who they are in Christ. Let open the eyes of their understanding. Let them see and let them know. Let this revelation be so fresh to them that they see their position in you and the benefit package of their inheritance in Christ Jesus. Their heirs ruling in the earth, reigning in the earth, and walking in supernatural power in the earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hey guys, I love you. I'm going to see you Sunday. Check out these announcements. Stay online. Don't go anywhere. Find out what's going on. We're getting ready. It's going to be an awesome Easter. Come on, somebody. Relevant Church, we're doing this thing. Check this out. God bless you. Love you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Relevant Live with Pastor Chris Sarnum. If you are interested in learning more about Relevant Church, you can visit us at relevantfl.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel to hear more messages like this one every single week. Thanks for listening.